A college in South China is implementing strict measures to stop cheating in exams. The most controversial one being, without a teacher supervising the exam, if one student is caught cheating, the marks of all the students in the class will be deemed as invalid. So everybody will be punished for one person's mistake. That is this controversial measure, and apparently it has a long history in China.
Mm.
Let's talk about what's going on here.
Sure. So this, let's say it's a new anti-cheating means, which is not that new to me because it has a long history, like He Yang has said. Anyway, this new method is being implemented into this one class in the City College of Dongguan University of Technology in South China's Guangdong province. The students of the class signed a letter of commitment out of their own will. I doubt that, but let's talk about it later. Mm. And at the beginning of the semester, promising that they wouldn't cheat in exams. So during the recent three exams they took, no teachers monitored the exams, meaning no teachers is in that classroom when they are taking the test. Students sit separately with 2-seat space between every 2 students. If one student was found out cheating, the marks of all the classmates would be canceled. It's not like a deduction or something, it's just canceled. 0 for you.
So that means like, zero.
Zero okay. For you, yes. The exam was monitored by teachers in a remote monitoring room through real-time surveillance cameras, so not really no one's watching. You. It's just you don't see them watching you. And that's basically what happened in this case.
Yeah, so, you know, this kind of mentality, like cameras watching people, I imagine prisons have this. Probably certain military areas for the right reasons have this as well. But schools, you know, one could... This just sounds so intense for something I feel... Maybe that it doesn't need to be like that. I don't know.
So the camera surveillance is a bigger problem for you as opposed to...
okay. No, I mean, I just feel like... Okay, so I feel like, you know, there's these students that are saying like, oh, you know, we were able to take the test and it was nice not to have a teacher watching us directly. But there is this information. I mean, I guess 3 students argued that if the surveillance cameras were monitoring the class... then they can't say it's a non-monitoring exam. So students were aware of cameras pointing at you. And, you know, it's like when someone points something at you or you feel like someone's watching over your shoulder, that doesn't have to be a physical presence. So before we jump into the, you know, collective punishment, I just wanted a voice that's saying, like, just because you're watching from a camera from a room doesn't mean these students don't feel like they're being watched, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but let's talk about what collective punishment is. You know, it's a form of punishing a group for the actions of one person in the group. But this actually has roots in history. Let's talk about specifically China's history. Shang Yang, a politician and reformer in the Qin Dynasty, reformed the constitution. Basically, he divided households in groups of 10, and if there were any problems and they were being failed to be reported, they would have the official get punished, and other people in the community would get punished mm-hmm. for one failure of report or someone doing something wrong, as I understand.
Yes, I want to talk about that, because back then, it's like, I would almost say is a good revolution of doing this, because back then, there is this problem of information asymmetry, meaning that there is one emperor, one governor of the whole society, but so many people in the society. So it's hard for the governor to know and regulate all the others' behavior. So he has 2 resorts. One, he can hire a lot of local governor to see if people are doing the right thing. And the other one being making everyone a supervisor of others' behavior. So this is like less costly and making sure people are doing the right thing in its own way. And the logic behind that is, as a citizen of that, let's say, country, you have the obligation to supervise your neighbors. So if you fail to supervise your neighbor, you get punished. That's the logic behind the law back then. And it actually has its perks because it has made sure that if you commit a crime, actually others are being punished, meaning that your, let's say, the cost of commit a crime is potentially higher. That is why it's a good law back then. But I don't see that logic being implemented in this rule, in this class.
I disagree completely. I don't think it was ever a good law. I mean, sure, it's easy for us to say or you to say that, but if you were being punished for people you can't control their actions, all right, some people are just bad apples. So all of a sudden, this one person gets put in your group, and you know maybe this person is a thief or something, you'll get punished.
Yes.
There's better ways to do things. It doesn't have to be binary, New Hong Lin.
Yeah, yeah.
So hold on. You know, you can't justify punishing the innocent for the crime of one, okay? That's not fair. Sure, maybe it solves these big problems, but at the end of the day, I mean, can't we find a better solution? Isn't there a better way, you know? And you'll never, ever be able to control the actions of others. So really, you will always just be a slave to those who could even hold it over your head. Hey, New Hong Lin, you either do what I say or I'll commit an infraction and have your whole family punished.
I totally agree with you. We can find better solutions, and we found better solutions in now, as in we have the modern technology. We have the ability to better supervise bad people. And back then, the reason I said it was a good revolution, a good method back then is because back then it's hard for the emperor to protect every right of every individual. Back then, the major, let's say, goal of them is to making sure that the labor force of the whole society get enlarged. And that is why they're doing that. But now we don't need to do that. It's bad for us now.
I think it's interesting because if in 21st century China, we still need to resort to a law that existed more than 2,000 years ago, then I think in a way it is going backwards. But I think both of you, what you said, have merit to it. First of all, I think I understand what Niu Honglin says, that why it was considered as advanced back then with this law. It was part of, I think it's officially called reforms of Shangyang, and back then it was very efficient governance. And 2,000 years ago, for a politician to come up with a method like this, it was considered as advanced. But, and back then, Ryan, I see what you're saying. Rights, personal rights, was not the primary consideration of any emperor or their government or the imperial court. Back then, it was about how to push society to move forward, how to advance the emperor's personal gain and advance his own ambitions. And that's why feudal society is long back in the past, and we're not there anymore. We've moved on. And it's also why, with such draconian laws, did that empire collapse? Did Qin dynasty collapse? So we see there are some ills to it, the vices of it, that is evident. But now, this is sort of being revisited in a way in the modern classrooms of China. And well, this is only one pilot program at the moment, but people are calling this innovative. How is it playing out? Is it going to be effective in stopping students from cheating?
Well, I mean, so apparently, you know, it's had some pretty good effects. None of the students, I guess, as I understand, are cheating. They have some students with very top grades in these kinds of things. But the way I see it is, like, this kind of system, it's like, okay, you want to win a race, right? I guarantee you're going to run faster than the other guy if I put a tiger behind you. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's this kind of mentality. It's like, if I want to run really fast, let's put a tiger behind us, guys, and then we'll all run really fast, much faster than the other schools or the other students, because there's a tiger trying to eat us. Does it need to be there? Is there other systems? I mean, like, okay, first of all, the reason why I was bringing up the efficiency, first of all, efficiency always doesn't mean moral, right?
Mm.
But at the same time, New Hongliang had said technology has allowed us to be able to not use this system. I disagree. I think we've seen throughout history, actually, technology has been pretty futile for most of it, but we've come up with better systems. It's just knowing how to govern people better. And in which case, I think we find that, you know, the tiger behind the person making them run, that's no way to live. That's no way to live every day anxiously with someone looking over my shoulder, you know, is someone out to get me? These kind of ways to live. People, I think we find are more productive, actually, more efficient when there's motivation. When you say, okay, you know, like, whoever the best city in town gets like this amount of money and blah, 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 or the best group in town, these kind of things. I think that's a little more healthy of a competition. But this kind of system only promotes this kind of, I don't know, unhealthy psychology, I think.
Well, isn't this sort of system one person's fault will be shared by the whole group, or the wrongdoing of one person will be punished upon the whole group? Make this group feel that we are kind of one, because we all need to share the punishment, so therefore the liability. And through this means, I understand it is not so-called maybe healthy, because there is a level of intimidation in the mind. And but does it stop cheating?
I don't think so, because I think behind this kind of regulations back then, in 2,000 years ago or now, we have this supplementary kind of rule that's saying if you're reporting a bad behavior, you don't you are not shouldering the liability anymore, being that if you report someone cheating, I'm pretty sure your score is secured. So instead of making the group united, I think this kind of rule is tearing them apart. Everyone wanted to be, let's say, safe, so they tell on other people. And that is how I see this.
I disagree. I think the fact that they all signed this means that there was some kind of peer pressure system. And in fact, I think it was Lin. He's, I guess, the student head. It was his idea to sign the commitment. And I think people just followed suit because, you know, you wouldn't be a good cheater if you said, no, I don't want to sign that. Because then everybody's going to be like, why are you cheating? You know, of course, everybody's going to want to sign that. It's like, are you a good person? And you're going to sign, no, I'm definitely not a good person, so I won't sign that. Everybody's going to sign that, right? Because if you don't sign it, then what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're open to cheating. So this, to me, forms a gang mentality. It's all for the group. We're all one. But actually, I think the stronger mentality for people to have is individual thinking. Because when people think individually, they think in different directions. They think of different methods to solve a problem. Whereas you just create this one group culture, everybody's like, oh, we already know what to do because this is how we do it. And then everybody, your individualness is just stripped from you. And so I think actually something that's synonymous with the future and where we're going and what's trending and how people should foster their education is individuality and diversity, because that's what makes innovation. People thinking of multiple ways to solve one problem instead of just this one way. And I think that's probably why we've moved from this Shangyang type thinking in throughout history, is because I think at the end of the day, and after a certain amount of time, people realize that having the individual rather than this group mindset is more beneficiary to society at large.
That's interesting, Ryan. And I think that's a really powerful speech. I enjoyed it very much. Ryan, I do. I think with the triumph of the individual, that is probably what is the fundamental spirit that I think Americans hold. And I think, yes, you are correct in saying that it does result in a society. Maybe there is more innovation because everybody's ideas are respected and fostered, I suppose.
I would say, too, that even it's not just an American thing, though. I mean, sure, maybe we're farther on the spectrum. But if someone comes up to you and says, hey, I haven't seen you in a long time, you'd be like, I've never seen you before in my life. And There's definitely individuality everywhere, I think, in the world. We all see ourselves as individuals.
Yes, I think that is something that actually I can't agree upon. But I think in Chinese classrooms and in a lot of maybe Eastern Asian countries, which I know a little bit better, I think it's that collectiveness or collectivity of being you a member of a bigger group and you sort of conform to the group. I think that is a completely different perspective on how society is run, and that is maybe more present here in China. And I think sometimes these sort of mentalities, it is also reflected in the ways that a school is run, a classroom is run, or even how society is being managed. And here I think we see that window in this story, that is when sometimes maybe what the teachers are thinking is if you get students to act in a group, if you can manage them in a group, then it's easier, it's faster than, considering if everybody has their own ideas as such. But this is about cheating. So I suppose preventing cheating. So it shouldn't, I'd wonder if there's much individuality to that. Isn't it just stopping people to do what is wrong?
I think it's more like stopping people to do what is wrong at a minimum cost. It's kind of like laziness in managing. So
yeah,
they don't need more teachers to monitor them doing the test. Instead, they're saying you're going to get a much harsher punishment if you cheat. You don't only lose your score. You lose the entire classroom score. So that is a harsher punishment to a relatively not that bad wrongdoings. So by doing that, you save a lot of teachers. You don't need them there.
Save their time.
Save their time and energy, but it's still bad managing.
You know, in the U.S., this kind of stuff would never happen in any educational institution I've been to, and parents would go ballistic because people work at different levels and people want different things, and people are ambitious at different levels. So to give the group this kind of group pass or fail, this kind of group score, this kind of mentality of for the group, I don't think it's ever been something that flies because people just perform differently. And so they want to be graded and judged as such. And that's what I think is very, I guess maybe, no, I wouldn't say it's American. I think it's a global thing. People want to get what they deserve. They've worked for, right? But we did have, teamwork exercises, and these are like, so the teacher would say, okay guys, so we have a project, you guys are going to be researching and then talking about a president I assigned to your group, and then you'll give a presentation about that, and it's going to be a group grade. This wasn't your whole class grade, this wasn't anything like that, of course, maybe something equal to a test, but I do think that taught us something too. Because we'd be in a group, and if someone wasn't pulling their weight, and this stuff had happened, we would go to the teacher and we'd say, hey, listen, we've all done our part of the assignment, and Chuck over here, he just doesn't want to work with us. And so the teacher would, of course, work something out with the group so that the grade wouldn't take a hit for the rest of us. But it was never just black or white like this.
Yeah, sometimes when it is cut and dry, then it does not allow the individual to have the breathing room, so to speak.
Yeah.
And also this kind of one person's wrongdoing being punished over the group is not something that just happens in sometimes Chinese schools, as I think we do live in a society in China that emphasizes a lot on the collective. Sometimes you see this in the workplace as well. One team member underperforms and the whole team gets a certain amount of salary deducted simply because you didn't help each other out, or the leader wasn't really overseeing this project properly, so everybody gets a hit. Do you think that's effective management?
No, because nobody likes that. That's kind of, I think, making people happy in the workplace, making people like their job, keeps them invested in that place, and I don't think anybody likes that, let alone thinks it's fair. But I will say where I do think it is advantageous, and that is in things like the military, because you have to rely on each other when you're on the battlefield. You know, these kind of things, you're only as good as the man next to you, you know, and so you always have to be able to trust that person next to you. These kind of situations, I think it's very important to have this kind of mentality. And I know, like, you know, and especially with American troops when they're trained. You know, if one guy doesn't remember something or didn't do something, everybody takes a hit. But it's not advantageous. These guys learn real quick, I think, that, you know, beating that guy up or yelling at him isn't going to make him perform any better, but instead encouraging him and say, "Come on, Tom, we can do it." And someone comes up and helps him pick up what he needs to do so they can cross the finish line. I think that's actually what many times happens and where, you know, growth happens as brothers and these kind of things in the military. And I think that's why it's in place. But specifically in schools with kids or young adults, I would say, or kids. I don't think it's going to have such great results.
Yes, and on top of that, I wanted to say another form of this collective punishment is happening in our society. When, let's say, when a news report, one doctor messed up in a surgery, people are pointing their fingers to the industry, saying every doctor is evil, or one teacher bit a kid, people are saying teachers are now bad, they're not helping kids anymore. This kind of behavior, labeling the whole group because of one individual's behavior, is also another
it's a mentality, yeah.
Yeah, so let's don't do that, our dear listeners.
Yes, I think sometimes it's easy to think one person represents the whole industry. It's such lazy research, as we know on Roundtable, when we try to do our research to our best ability. That is, one person, one example can never represent the whole picture, and that is something that needs to be put into perspective. And we've got so many messages coming in regarding this topic, and
good.
I think a lot of us have somewhat felt this or witnessed or have been part of that person that got punished for somebody else's wrongdoing.